And we have somebody in the audience tonight, Audra. I don't know her married name. She's the Audra Sherman. Some people here will know her. Others will recognize her voice if you listen to the Menno Equivalent. She's the other voice on the Menno Equivalent. And she's now living back here again.
Yes. Good. Very excited to be here.
So we're done. But I'm not going to light it under here.
Welcome back. Thank you.
So, as usual, I have good news for you. This thing that we call God is not in you, like a raisin in a cookie. You are in God, like a wave in the ocean. You have to remember that you're a part of this whole thing. That this thing that we call God or the universe or good or Harry, whatever you want to call it, you are part of that. Just like a drop in the ocean. Each drop makes up the ocean. And the ocean needs each drop of water. Therefore, God needs you. This thing that we call God would be incomplete without you. You are part of God. That's why we make that little saying, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. The way for God to demonstrate on this plane of action is through each and every one of us. God works in, as, and through us. We are one in the same thing. The Creator and the creation are one in the same thing. This thing that we call God, this thing that we look at, we can say it is the ocean, it's an energy form. And it's everywhere present. And it's everywhere present at exactly the same power. There's not a weak spot anywhere. You see what that means? That means if God is in, as, and through you, and you are part of God, then you have all the power. You have as much power as anybody else. No one can have more God than anybody else. No one can have more spirit than anybody else. When the appearance is there that this is happening, it's because the other person is choosing to use more of their God self. And you can do it too. Because this thing that we call God does not show favorites. It loves each and every one of us exactly the same. It doesn't say, I love Dallas more because he's better looking than most people. God doesn't do that. God loves us all the same. And that's why we learn to love ourselves the way God loves us. We learn to love ourselves unconditionally. That means with all the warts and bumps and all the mistakes we've made, we love ourselves anyway. We have to learn to instantly forgive ourselves and not hold things against ourselves. That gets us nowhere. We have a mind that says, well, if you punish yourself a little bit, you're going to feel better because you did something wrong. You're not going to feel any better. Just forgive yourself instantly. It's like, whoops, that went wrong. I did that wrong. But I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to learn from it and I'm going to forgive myself. And I'm not going to drag that behind me the rest of my life. No wonder most people can't move. If they ever look behind, like, God, they're dragging that much stuff. It's pathetic. You can't do that. You have to just cut that loose, let it go. And love yourself. And learn from all of that. And say, I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to drag this stuff with me anymore. And I'm going to forgive myself, and I'm going to forgive everybody else who I hold any resentment, any grudges, anything against. Because that's holding me down. That's dragging me down, and I don't want to be dragged down. I want to be lifted up. I want to really sparkle in this life. I don't want a life less than. I want to live life full out. Full out. And you cannot live life full out if you're holding all that stuff. You just have to let it go. You know, it means nothing. It's only your mind that says all that stuff means anything. It means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And one day when you make your transition, you'll discover, huh, meant nothing, and look at me. I held on to it all these years. It means nothing. Let it go. And forgive yourself. Learn to love yourself. And know that this thing that we call God loves us all that much that we can't even explain that. Because our finite mind cannot understand or comprehend the love that the universe and this thing that we call God has for us. We just can't comprehend that because we are constantly being influenced by the world. We're constantly being influenced by race mind. And we have to look at that and let that go. So learn to love yourself more and more and more. And know that this thing called God never holds anything against you. Only you hold things against yourself. God instantly forgives everything. In fact, God never even bothers to notice any of that stuff. God only notices the good, and only notices the good in you. It's the world and our friends who don't notice the good in us. So we must learn to notice the good in ourselves. We must learn to do that for ourselves. So learn to love yourself. Learn to see how wonderful you really are. And learn to be able to use this power. This power for good. This power that we call God. Because it's in, as, and through each and every one of us. And I'm here to tell you that it's the only power there is. There is no other power. There's only the power of God. And there's only the power for good. The appearance is that that is not so, because man takes that and twists that this way and that way. But it's still the power for good. And I will make the biggest statement. That is why good always wins out. Always wins out. It doesn't matter what is going on and how horrible things are, how difficult things are. Good will always win out. It can be no other way. So remember that. And learn to love yourselves. Okay? So that's the good news. And I think it's wonderful. Let's talk a moment about race mind alerts. The biggest race mind alert that I found this week is from Kaiser Permanente. There's a commercial one which says Kaiser Permanente can help you with the biological booking. Meaning, if biologically you think you're prone to have something, they can put the odds in your favor. And they call it the biological booking. God does not throw dice. God does not gamble. The universe does not gamble. And certainly your biological characters in you do not gamble either. Do not gamble either. So why is that race mind? It's race mind because race mind at the present moment is believing that biologically your body can turn on you. That biologically your body can do something to you. That biologically your genes are already programmed to attack you, to do this to you, to do that to you, and there's nothing you can do about that. Now that's an out and out lie, by the way. It's an out and out lie. All the new research in science that's going on, which has not caught up to the medical profession, has absolutely proved that genes do not do all the things that we learned or were told that they do. We have the power over our biological makeup to change it. We have the power to change our own DNA. Why is this possible? You cannot say that biologically there is something wrong and put your faith in that biological thing, because God is always first cause. God is the cause of everything, not your genes, not your biology. Genes and biology are what's called secondary causation, acting as first cause. But God is always first cause. You can make secondary causation come true when you believe in secondary causation. When you do not move back far enough. When I say move back far enough, you always must move back to first cause. But people will stop. Oh no, the doctor says this, so this is true. Now they never go back to first cause and say, oh, but God is first cause in my life. And I know since God is first cause in my life, that I can heal myself of anything right here and right now. That I'm not buying in to the biological booking. That I'm not buying in to all of that. But we've been told one lie after the other to keep us in line and to sell things to us. I hate to be that cynical, but that's what happens out there in the world. Many people believe in crystals. You can believe in crystals. You can believe in all these things. But they're always secondary causation. God is always first cause. And God is working through the crystals. And you may think, oh, these crystals have power. But they do not have power of their own. It's the power of God coming through them. The same way you and I do not have power of our own. It's God coming through us that's giving us the power. Does that make sense?
And as simple as a crystal is as an inanimate object, if that is imbued with power, imagine how much more power we had.
Yes.
As a willful, moving, living thing.
Yes. Each and every one of us has enough power in us, enough energy in us. One human being has enough energy, enough power to light all of Los Angeles. to light all of Los Angeles. That's how much power we have. Remember last week I said that we are an intentional species. We were intended to be this, to take on this form, because we can hold the power without blowing up. We can hold that power. And we are holding that power. And we must learn that we can release that power, that we can do something with that power. But that power is absolutely contained in us. Absolutely contained in us, and we do not blow up from it. Because we're an intentional species. There is no missing link, people. Do you have a question?
I do. I have a friend who was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I have this ongoing challenge with my mom because she said, oh, well, breast cancer runs in their family. Her mom had it. Her mom's mom had it. And then she went to go get her mammograms every 6 months, or like earlier than most people. And so when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, my mom said, see, there's genetics. We always kind of butt heads about the genetic idea. And I said, well, I mean, my only explanation is that she believed that it ran in her family because that's what people told her. So she had that belief, and therefore that belief became true because she bought into it.
So your mother held that belief also for her. So your mother added to it. That's what race mind does. It adds to it. So then it becomes true. Most people who are looking for a lump in their breast will find one. Why? Because you always find what you're looking for.
So my mom tells me diabetes runs in our family.
Yes,
and I said, I'm not getting diabetes.
Good. So now program yourself right now and realize that it runs in your family except for you. And that your whole immune system, your whole body, knows how to take care of that for you. It knows how to produce the insulin, and it knows what to do. It knows everything to do for you. And you keep telling your body to do that for you. Instead of sitting there and saying, well, any minute now I'm going to be down with diabetes because it runs in my family and that's the way it's going to go. My father died of colon cancer. When I say to my brother, you better do this, that, and the other, he'd say, why? I'll die of colon cancer like Dan. What are you going to say to people?
But when they say heart problems run in their family, what do you say to that? Now my mom's convinced she had this test, and it said, oh, well, she's prone to some sort of heart thing, so now she's going for all these other tests for heart things. Well, you know, my father died with heart problems, and my mom died with heart problems. And
yes, and your mother will probably die of heart problems.
She's full of good cheer.
Yes. Actually, she's very optimistic. Believe it or not, she's optimistic. I just have this one little thing with her. About
most people are very optimistic until it comes to medical. As soon as the medical profession comes in, they take everything the medical profession says as gospel. Because when you hear anything about your health and your body, you immediately turn to fear. And fear produces things. And you say, I'm a poor, helpless person. I don't have the knowledge to do this, this, and this. But if you ever look around and see the people who have recovered from anything, they recovered because they refused the diagnosis of the doctor, and they did tons of research on their own and discovered, oh, that doesn't have to go that way.
That warrior movie that you talked about,
Peaceful Warrior.
Oh, the Peaceful Warrior?
I would just say you should see it if you haven't seen it.
Yes. Did you see it?
Yes. Can you rent it?
I'm
sure at some point.
It should be.
What was the best part that you liked about that?
His refusal to accept what everyone else thought was a foregone conclusion.
And could you not see what the mind did to the other people? And they were on the rafters looking down? If you haven't seen the movie, see it, because it will explain to you finally. You will understand what your mind does to you. And you can understand that you are not your mind. That your mind is yours. And that that mind talk that's going on inside of you has come from somebody else that does not belong to you at all. You pick that up along the way from other people. Very, very good movie. I love that movie. Rhoda and I went to see that movie. And we had a wonderful evening, didn't we, Rhoda? It was at 7 o'clock. I'll quickly tell this story. It was at 7 o'clock at night in Santa Monica. I arrived at Rhoda's house at 5 o'clock. Studio City, Laurel Canyon. We not only got out to through all the traffic, which people said was horrible, and it was very heavy, wasn't it, Rhoda? But we went. We arrived early, enough time, I said, I'm hungry. Beside, it was at the studio out there, Lionsgate Studio. 2 blocks away, maybe, from there, was this little restaurant we knew nothing about. I said, well, let's just pop in there. It was a little French restaurant. It was absolutely marvelous. I had duck. I remember. We had a nice dinner. Now at 7 o'clock, I said to her, oh, we've got to get down there. They'll start without us. We got in. Of course, they hadn't started without us. But this woman said, hi, how are you? We said, just fine. She said, this way, please. We walked into the auditorium. Every seat in that place was taken. She looked down at 2 people and she said, get up. These 2 people need a seat. Didn't they? They got right up and wrote a nice down. We didn't even know who the woman was. It was just one. Just through the traffic, dinner, get up and give these people a seat. It was fabulous, wasn't it? But that's the way life should work for all of us, and that's the way life should work all the time. Okay. Now, are we clear on? I'm not putting down the medical profession. They do wonderful things, but you have to have enough knowledge so that you can make intelligent choices and not just go down the line with what a doctor said. Because a doctor is never going to say to you, you're going to get well in 2 weeks or 2 hours. They're usually going to say, you know, this usually takes weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, you'll be sick. Come see me. Because they're in complete race mind, those people. They're in complete race mind. And they have all the things written. A broken arm takes 6 weeks. Okay. Could I do it in 4? No, I don't think so. It says 6 weeks here. But you could do it in 4. You see. But they tell you, no, it takes 6 weeks. So you say, okay, 6 weeks. Instead of saying to your body, look, I need that arm now. Get well.
My father is a retired doctor, and I grew up in a medical tradition. And I'm fortunate that although he may not have been aware of it consciously, but he was in this awareness because he would observe that some people heal faster than others. And he always said he could tell who was going to heal because he could tell from their outlook. He said there are people who choose to get better. And as far as, you know, predicting how long it was going to take to heal, he would always qualify that by saying, well, on the average it takes this, some people faster, some people slower. But I feel really fortunate that I had that example that he said people choose to get better.
Yes. And they always say that the people who fight or are stubborn will get better.
And his mother lived
to 102. Submissive do not get better. Because they're waiting for somebody else to tell them it's all right to get better. Don't wait. Do it yourself. Okay. So, with that, one more race mind thing. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to. This is a program from a church, if you could imagine. It's a brand name church. We won't tell you the brand. But here's a prayer of confession. And the whole congregation stood up and did this, mind you. I didn't. Mighty and merciful God, hear our prayers and be gracious to us. For the lives we live are not worthy of our calling.
Doing fine up to a point there.
Can you imagine? Is that not right? Read it.
Oh, I believe.
For the lives we live are not worthy of our calling. Don't believe that stuff. That's absolutely race mind. You cannot say that. Each and every one of us is absolutely worthy. We're worthy of everything, and you must bring that into your being to know that you are worthy. You're worthy to have the prosperity that you want, the abundance you want, the money that you want. You have to know that you're worthy. But the world wants to teach that you're not worthy. Brand name religion want to tell you that you're not worthy. That you're not worthy. And a merciful God. God is always merciful. They use that as, oh, you know, you've done something wrong, but God is going to forgive you for it or whatever. But don't think that, people. It has come to the age where we cannot believe that we are just worms of the earth. We are much more than that, and we have to know that. We have to know that we're worthy, and we have to know that we never have to plead to God. You never go to God pleading for anything. You go to God asking, knowing that God is ready to give it to you. You go to God knowing that before you ask, it is given to you. That is the way you approach this. That is the way you approach this thing that we call God. If you go there feeling pitiful and begging and so forth, it's not going to work. It has never worked and it will never work. Remember, when you're trying to make a demonstration, it's done with feelings. If you're feeling pitiful about yourself and unworthy about yourself and this about yourself and that about yourself, and then you're saying, God, help me. What kind of a feeling are you putting out? You have to put a feeling up, oh my goodness, I'm going to be the best thing I ever had, and I know perfectly well that God knows exactly how to give me what I want. And he's doing that right here and right now.
Would you say frustration is on the pity side or on the insistent side? Like, you're frustrated? I mean, what's that kind of emotion?
That's a horrible emotion. Why would one want to be frustrated with anything? You can't be frustrated with something. You can't be frustrated with yourself at all. You know, you have to always be loving yourself. And you, if you're not getting what you want, love yourself even more. Love yourself even more. And you will break through that. And you will get what you want. It's all done with love, people. And it's all done with self-love. People can tell you anything else, don't believe it. Learn to love yourself more and more. And isn't it fun to learn to love yourself? You know, you get that, oh, my goodness, I do like myself. Isn't that fun? Isn't it fun? Makes you feel good.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, yes, isn't it? It's amazing.
Everything changes.
Everything changes. But that's the... All right, with that done, I want to, oh, this. Let's go over this. I brought this in for you. Hello. Yes. And I'm going to point out the parts that you should know. Because after last week, I thought about you always. Because remember, you were struggling, and even though the appearance, because you were judging by appearances. You know, even if your checkbook is low, that is an appearance. That is a fact. That's a fact. Facts change. Truth always remains the same. The truth is money's always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. That's the truth. I look to the truth. If I look to the fact that my bank account is going down and down and down, you're going to get that. If you look on this side, that money's always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus, you're going to start to get this. Money is going to start to come into me. But when you get upset and you think, oh, and you also made the statement last week, if I can bring it back to mind, was, you were very upset, you were struggling, and you said, but it always happens this way. The money seems to run down. The money seems to run out. Things seem to be going. You see, you can't have that in your mind, the money's running out. You can't have that in your mind. You have to know that the money's coming in, the money's coming in. It's never running out. It's never running out. I've said this many times, I'm going to say it quickly again. Money is never the issue. Money is never the problem. There's always enough money to do anything that you want to do. The problem is your consciousness. The problem is your thinking. You see, once you realize that it's everything is within you and the problem is always you, the problem is always you. Now you have power to do something about that. If I think it's Jeff doing it, I have no power over Jeff. But if I know that I'm doing it, I have power over my own thinking. I have power over my own being. And I can change that, you see? And then I can change the circumstance that's going on. But it's always within us, you see.
What if you do change your thinking and still nothing seems to change with the facts, not with the truth, with the facts?
You change the facts?
No, the facts didn't change.
No, but the facts will change. You have to hold on to things. People want something instantly. You're not going to get things instantly most of the time. And why you're not going to get things instantly most of the time is because you haven't been doing it. Once you start to do it and it comes instant, it'll come instant again and again and again. You want something instant, but you have never had that. So you have to work on it. You have to keep believing. So it becomes instant. And as soon as it becomes instant, now you'll be able to do it again, quicker. But the first go around is you have to build your faith up. You have to build your belief up. All miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief. All miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief.
I just wanted to say, I mentioned to you 2 weeks ago about The Secret.
Yes.
I don't know if you had talked about it in this group, but it's a really good... Okay, that explains. I mean, the 30 days, you got to wait 30 days.
I've waited over a year. Still things haven't changed.
Yeah, well, give that idea. Now, first of all, it does take 30 days, or it takes 21 days, really, to change your mind about anything. It takes 21 days to change a habit. Why do they come up with 21 days? I have no idea, but somebody comes up with that. I do 21 vows in the morning. Why do I do 21? Because that happens to be a number somewhere that's supposed to do something. I don't know what it's supposed to do, but I do it anyway. Where was I going with this? It's your habit. You have to realize that not only it's a habit, and not only with the 21 days and 30 days and this, that, and the other thing, it just didn't happen at exactly that time. There's no time in the mind of God. God doesn't know 21 days went by. God doesn't know 30 days went by. God doesn't know a year went by. Only we know that. Why doesn't God know that? Because He only lives in the now. Or it only lives in the now. We have a mind that can live in the past, in the future, and in the now. And usually we choose to live in the future or in the past. And you're remembering the past. And as soon as you remember the past, you drag it into the present. And when you drag it into the present, it becomes the future. So you can't do that. Okay? So don't judge by appearance. Stay steadfast. The reason why... with all prayer and all religions, everyone is absolutely, oh yeah, 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 oh isn't this great, 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 oh my, this is wonderful. Until you have to use it. And then when it finally hits you, that oh my God, I have to use this now, it's come down to that. You see? Now's when you have to apply it. You see, most people only want to apply this when everything is hunky-dory and going their way. soon as it's not going their way, they want to blame it on everybody else. They want to use some other system. They want to do this, that, and the other thing. You have to be steadfast. And you have to see money coming to you. You have to do more of that.
So when you catch yourself dragging your past with you, you're saying to just change your thought. That's what you do.
Yeah, get out the big scissors and cut it. That's all I do. I get out the big scissors. I love scissors, by the way. I've tons of them. They're wonderful. Just cut it right out. All right. Let's go over this because this is a very good one, and I brought it in just for you. Okay. I ask myself, what shall I be, open and receptive today? If yesterday I allowed my thoughts to be fearful or worrisome, then today I begin to courageously... I begin by courageously letting go of these worries and fears. Worry and fear is the worst. It will negate any prayer right away. It will negate any manifestation right away. Get rid of worry and fear. Today I lift my thoughts higher. I am open and receptive to the goodness of God. Today, my focus and attention are firmly placed on the truth that I am one with my Creator. I am connected to the Source, and in this truth, I embrace the potential that is within me, always within you. Now, this is the one for you. Any shadow of doubt has cleared away because I know that prosperity and success are not dependent on outer circumstances. Not dependent on outer circumstances. Always having faith that God is the source of inexhaustible good. God is always the source of your good. God is first cause, first source. Anything that good comes into your life comes into your life through God. Yes, it may look like it's something else, but that is the appearance. God is always first cause in everything, and that's what we have to remember. When we look at our bank account, we have to say, that's just a bank account. That has nothing to do with me whatsoever. That is not the source of my being. That is not the source of my good. That is not the source of my money. God is the source. And I know right here and right now that God is giving me what I want. And I am open and receptive to that. The flow is coming to me. And then you get into that frame. You see? Does that, this help you? I go to great effort, you know. I openly receive God's supply. I am prospered in all I do. That's a wonderful little affirmation right there. I am prospered in all I do. And then the rest is from the Course in the Bible. This is Daily Word with Sundays, I believe. Yes, Sundays. I do Daily Word every day. I recommend Daily Word. I recommend anything, at least, that you do something in the day, so that you learn something. By the way, this was a perfect treatment. It was a perfect science of mind treatment. It had all the steps in it, but they were all in different places. They didn't go 1 through 5 or 1 through 7. They jumped around, but they got them all in. I mention that because so many people get stuck with the idea of these steps. The steps are only there to organize your mind. You can move them any way you want. There is no power in the steps to a treatment. No power in the steps. The power is in the feeling. How you do the treatment. It's in the feeling. Okay? Does that help everybody? Well then, with that said, let's start as we always do. with spiritual mind treatment. I use that was just a preamble for the people. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what God already knows about us, what this universe already knows about us. We are affirming or reaffirming what God knows. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly connected to the only source there is. I am connected to God. And I know that that source delivers everything to me. I do not have to look for anything else, and I do not have to look anywhere else. All I have to look for is that source, that God. And since I know that God is all around me, that God is in, as, and through me, that God and I are together in this, I have no doubt whatsoever when I say that abundance and prosperity, including money, are flowing to me right here and right now. And I am open and receptive to that. I have stretched my consciousness. My container is so large, and I am allowing it to be filled and filled and filled until it is overflowing. And it is wonderful. And I let that be so. And so it is. Is everyone doing affirmations?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's a yes.
I said yes.
Oh, well, I thought there was a question, maybe. Yes, please do your affirmations. They absolutely work. And here again, the magic in an affirmation, if you're looking why affirmations work, they change your mind. It's a discipline to change your mind. It's a discipline to change your thoughts, so that you can eventually think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. And you must have that in the back of your mind so that it's always throwing up an affirmation, something good, that your mind is telling you something good about yourself, instead of allowing your mind to take you down the wrong road all the time. Don't allow that to happen. Just learn to do affirmations to correct all that faulty thinking that's going on inside of you. And that's what affirmations do. And they'll change you. They'll change your thinking, and they will stretch your consciousness. Okay? Tonight's topic is giving. Last week we talked about receiving. And we all know about giving, and we've all been told through brand name religions that giving is more blessed than receiving. And that's why we have so many people out there who cannot receive anything. All they do is want to give. I try to find those people. We must learn to give. And when we say learn to give, people think that means that we have to give to the church, we have to give to an organization, we have to give this, that, and the other thing. Giving is an attitude that we develop. Giving money and giving these things, unless you have the right attitude, is not helping you or anybody else. We learn to give of ourselves. We learn to open ourselves up to giving, to showing people who we are. What do we give? A smile. That's giving. A kind word, that's giving. See, we have to stay in an attitude and in an atmosphere of giving all the time. We must give love all the time. How many people do you know that holds back love? I want to give you so much, do you give me some? Tons of people hold back love. Families hold back love because they're afraid. Can't love somebody too much, you may spoil them. You can never spoil anybody by loving them too much. There is no such thing as loving somebody too much. There's no such thing as loving yourself too much. You see, the giving, you must give yourself love at the same time. You must give yourself all the things that you want. And you give things to other people. Compliments, kind words, smiling. Give people things. Give from your heart, but give little things. All you people are familiar with Deepak Chopra. He wrote a book called
Seven Spiritual Laws of
Affluence. And Seven Spiritual Laws of Affluence. Yes. Oh yeah, well, it's got three on that. And in that book on affluence, he says, take some little gift with you. If you go someplace, take something. Give somebody something. You know. If they come to your house, Rhoda does that. She always gives you tons of food to take home. But you give. You learn to give. And even when you don't think that you can give, you give. You give. See, we always have to be giving. How many people give the right of way on the freeway?
Yeah, freaks people out.
Yes.
Albeit sometimes begrudgingly, but.
But you're learning. You have to learn to give things like that. Give people that. I love to go to the supermarket and somebody has a few items behind me. I say, you may go in front of me. No, go right ahead. Are you sure? Yes, go right ahead. It's giving something. It's giving something to someone. How many people here hold back compliments? Don't do that. Give a compliment to people. I've learned to do that. I used to think, oh, that looks nice, and this, this, and this, and I'd be home before I realized, well, yes, but you never said anything. You thought it, but you never told the person. It's like somebody who says, well, you should know I love you. No, you should tell the person. See, we take it for granted that people should know this stuff. Well, I don't have to tell them I love them. They know I love them. No, they don't. And even if they do, they want to hear it. Give. Give that. Voice all that stuff that's inside of you. But it's all done with giving. This whole world is done with giving. You see, if you're part of God, which you are, God is always giving. Isn't this universe always giving? So if we're part of it, we have to learn to give and give and give.
I have something to share that happened yesterday.
What?
In having this sale I told you about 2 weeks ago, and I was really tired. And the night before, Saturday night, I bought home, and I went into my second bathroom, and I had to get a roll of toilet paper, and the whole cupboard was sopping wet, and it's driving it away. And that the problem was I didn't know where the leak was coming from. And I had nightmares all night. It was like a metaphor for how I'm going to manage this, my new job. It's like a huge plumbing thing. It looked like it was coming behind the wall. And it's like I'm going to have to pay for the second and first floor is damaged. And how am I going to handle it? I have to go to work right away. Well, I went to, that was Sunday. I went to Starbucks, had my coffee, and I thought, okay, I turn the spigots off under the sink. And this amazing thing happened. This friend of mine, I was telling my tale of woe to my little kitchen cabinet, I call them. And they said, oh, you're on your way to the big sale again. And I told this funny story. And then this man, Ted, waves to this guy who walked in, and he was unfamiliar, and it turns out this darling young guy came back from Katrina, and he's a water detection specialist and a claims adjuster, and he's been helping Katrina rebuild. And Ted told us, he goes, well, Carol has a plumbing problem. He goes, I'll come over right now. And Jack, your plumbing, he came over, and I didn't have to go to work that day till 12. And he came over, and it was like, it's coming, he went on the roof, it's leaking from my roof, he pulled all the drywall, and it's like, I was thinking of you. And I told this guy, I said, what can I do? How? He goes, oh, I don't need anything. My wife's an actress, she's with our children. And I'm lonely, and I don't have anything to do, and I was worried there's nothing to do. And it was like, my gosh. And I told him, I said, I always think I'm always confused or not doing the right thing. But when something like this happens, it's like the universe, God, whatever, saying, no matter what, you might not know, but this is my way of telling you you're where you're supposed to be. So he's coming back Wednesday after my cupboard dries, and it's like, I said, what am I going to do? I have to pay. Just make me dinner or something, or I'll run with your boyfriend in the, you know, hills or something. It's like, that was really special. So I just wanted to share that.
Yes. But do you see also the gift that you were given?
My gift? What? Oh, my gift that he gave me.
Well, he gave you, the universe gave you, God gave you that. Here you were all upset, the plumbing and so forth, what am I going to do? And that was answered. This is what this thing that we call God does. It answers those things. It does this type of thing for you. This is not a fluke. This is not circumstance and so forth. All this stuff dovetails together for some reason. But I want you to be able to say to yourself, look how the universe supports me. Look how much God loves me, that this man came and done all this. That was given to you, and he was giving, and you're forgiving. And it's all done with giving. But I want you to recognize that. You see? You are taken care of. Can you see that?
I do. That's why I said, I does believe.
Okay. Good.
That's why I wanted to share it too. That
good.
That it was a exceptional gift.
I wanted to share a way in which people are giving that they might not even notice. I'm moving out of town, and you know, a big move, everything, and my car is going to be stuffed with a couple of really, really valuable items I don't trust to the movers. And this friend of mine said, well, you can come and stay at my house the night before you go because your apartment's going to be totally empty. And then we were talking the other day, and she knew what I was going to move and so forth. And my point is, she listened. She listened, and she paid attention, and she said, you know, days later, she said, you know, I want you to park inside my building in the safe place so that your car won't be out on the street. And it, you know, something about it that was just so honoring.
Yes.
And it was the simple, not just the giving of the space and all that, but the act of hearing what somebody's saying, paying attention, and going, oh, I can...
Wonderful.
Like, that's what you were saying about being in the attitude of giving.
Yes.
You know, the smile, that's an inborn attitude.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's an inborn attitude, and we're programmed to give. We're programmed to help other people. We're programmed to do all this. The world just takes that away from us. We have to give that back. And when you give it, small things... You know, everyone thinks, oh, I have to give something big for it to count. No, it's the little things. To say it, to give somebody a compliment at the right time, to encourage somebody at the right time, is worth more than $1 million. It's worth more than $1 million. But it's the little things. And I'm glad you brought this up because I'm going to ask a question. Does anyone know what the most important thing is that you can give anybody?
Compassion. Yeah.
Yourself. the most important thing that you can give anybody is your attention. And that's what struck you. She listened to you. Most people don't give you their attention. And you do not give people your attention. Giving somebody your attention means that you hear them and that you allow them to finish what they are saying before you step in and say something. And you train your mind just to listen, not to come up with a solution, not to let your mind say, well, I can fix this. Most people only want your attention. They don't want your advice. They may come thinking they want your advice. But what they want is your attention. In all relationships, the best thing you can give somebody is your attention. Not your love, not your sex, not that. How many people have been in relationships? You have good sex, you have everything you think is good, but you say, he never listens to me. Doesn't hear a word I'm saying. Attention is the greatest gift and the most important thing that you can give anybody. And that's why I love each and every one of you. You always give me your attention. You see, that's what it requires. You give me your attention. And I honor you for that. And that's a gift that you're giving. But it's always attention. It's the greatest thing you can give anybody. The greatest thing you can give anybody. I would like, if Holly would, tell your story about your party.
Oh, my God. We had a party at my house on Saturday. And I was watching the weather report on Friday. And they said, oh, it's going to rain. It's going to rain all weekend. And if you're planning anything, plan it for Sunday. So my husband and I looked at each other, and we're like, no. And I was remembering Dallas's funny story about him manifesting beautiful weather and the clouds opening up in the sky. And I thought, I could do the same thing. And so I did. And I did. I meditated on it. And then I felt fear come up. Oh, what if it rains? Oh, and then it's just going to get wet, and people are going to trek the mud in, muddy, blah, blah, blah. And I let go of that. I said, you know what? If it's going to rain, it's going to rain. But I sent out an email to everybody saying what the, you know, if they followed the weather, what the prediction was. But let's do things contradictory to what the weatherman says, and let's manifest the perfect weather for our party. Can't wait to see you all there. So Saturday morning, I got up and I started cooking in the kitchen, and I looked out the kitchen window, and just a little piece of blue sky. And I started getting really excited. I was like, oh, it's working. Whether or not everybody thinks I'm full of shit, that's okay for me, correct? But that's okay, because I believe that I was going to change the weather. And I did, and the skies opened up, and it was blue, and it was wonderful, and it didn't rain. It was the most perfect day ever. And Sunday, yesterday, was not such a great weather. So it was very fun.
This is the power that we have. And although that does sound strange to some people, we can all learn to do that also. There isn't anything that our thoughts do not create. Our thoughts created this world. And we can create this world any way we want using our thoughts. Life is very simple. It's not complicated. Life is not a struggle. You do not have to put a great deal of effort into life. But you have to change your thinking. And you have to realize that your thoughts are powerful. And that they can do wonderful things for you. But it's done with thinking. And it's done with feeling. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.